received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, "In the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." A voice says, "Cry." And I said, "What shall I cry?" All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Let you up on a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, "Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. And he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. And with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness, and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for Gaudete Dei, or the third Sunday in Advent, is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Now, when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. And the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended sinful flesh and the devil wrestle with the church. And it wrestles with the church because the church always is speaking against the world, their sinful flesh, and the devil. So as they wrestle with the church and its penitential seasons, of which we are in one right now, the season of Lent, Advent, along comes yet another gospel text within Advent that just seems to be a big downer, a bit depressing. John the Baptist is in prison, knowing his fate. Yet amidst this seeming end of life, amidst this tumultuous time, is there any reason for him to rejoice? Every year, God's divine service on this third Sunday in Advent includes the words of the introit, which come from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Because of this, historically, the church has thus named the third Sunday in Advent Gaudete, which is Latin for rejoice. Even in the midst of Advent, a time of focusing on your sins, of meditation upon your need to constantly be in repentance, a season of yearning for the Lord to return, to come again, Advent again, to deliver you from this body of death and from this valley of tears, as Luther called it. Even in the midst of this penitential season, you are reminded to rejoice in the Lord always. The rose-colored candle on the Advent wreath symbolizes this rejoicing, a break from the penitential color of violet. Isaiah repeats anew the oracle from the Lord that all preachers are to preach, comfort my people. And yet, where is John the Baptist? He's in a dungeon, not much longer for being in this world. Can John partake of this rejoicing? It seems that everyone else has been invited to the party, except for John, the last of the prophets, the one of which your blessed Lord said that among those born of women, no one is greater. So is John to rejoice as well? Is there good news for John in his prison cell? And what about those among you who are downtrodden? Or you yourselves, the oppressed, the falsely accused, the persecuted, the sick and dying, the lonely, those gripped by chronic pain, the depressed, those with distressing family problems, those with nagging doubts, people facing medical tests, those whose jobs are in jeopardy, and every other source of grief and anxiety. Do they or you have anything to rejoice about? What about the people around the world who live in abject poverty, who are subject to civil war and military occupation at any given moment? People who are decimated by AIDS, or even leprosy? Or Christians staring down the sword in oppressive countries? What about the victims of terrorism around the world or in our was persecuted for the sake of the gospel in China, Africa, and Scandinavia. Is it not an insult for Christians to sit here in comfortable surroundings and tell the world to rejoice and rejoice always? Friends in Christ Jesus, John the Baptist, and all of those around the world and in this community who are going through tribulation, they obviously seem to have every right to be down in the dumps. And the guarantee is this, that as long as they're focused on their circumstances, then they will wallow in those circumstances. Nobody can be ordered to rejoice as if it's on command. But circumstances do not dictate rejoicing either. Truth does. The truth of God's word in the midst of horrible circumstances remains God's truth. It doesn't matter whether John asks his doubtful question for his own sake or whether he sent his disciples to hear the answer from Jesus for their sake. Either way, the proper source has become the focus, the Word made flesh. Whether John needed it or he knew that his disciples needed it, faith that waits is not yet perfect. It coexists with sin. For a time, faith lives alongside of doubt, alongside, right along with circumstances. But as John displays, look not at your circumstances. Look to Christ and look what comes about. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is only strengthened as it is properly focused. Faith is only as strong as what faith is focused on. The Lord delivers the truth that brings rejoicing. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. What more is Jesus saying than, I am here to make all things anew? I am adventing into your dark world to restore you, to bring you the forgiveness of your sins. I am the truth. I am the coming one. I am the peace that passes all understanding. Whether John needed it or he knew that his disciples needed it, faith sought reassurance and comfort from the very source of faith. Faith sought reassurance and comfort from the Word of God. For men live not by circumstances. Men live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the Word of God took up flesh and dwelt among you. If doubt is to be quenched, if questions are to be satisfied, uncertainty is to be put to rest, it is only by way of the Word of God. Faith suffering is a God-given response to His kindness and mercy. This is why the introit, which begins "Rejoice" from Philippians, is coupled with Psalm 85. Lord, Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of Thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. We were not told to rejoice in the sense of a legalistic "do it or else," but rather you confess the Lord's goodness and mercy. And that is rejoicing. You confess what He has finished for you right in the midst of suffering. For no matter what happens in this brief life, this current world overcome by sin and death, you have the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. You have eternity to step into right now and later. Rejoice. Indeed. The biggest fear that every person has confronting them is a fear that each and every person can only face all alone. It's the same thing that John the Baptist faced all by himself. It's death. But the good news, the cause of rejoicing, the reason for the rose-colored candle and the joy of receiving God's word and sacraments is that death will no more hold you than it held your Lord. That is the truth of God's Holy Scripture. That is the truth which the Word made flesh came and acquired for the life of the world. All suffering, all the bad news, all the causes of pain and sorrow in this life have been taken upon the One who took the sins of the world upon Himself. The One, the coming One. That coming One has advented to you already. He advents to you now in His Word and Sacraments. He will advent to you again to wipe away all doubt and all tears in the blinking of an eye. Your Lord is coming to restore Eden. So those times when you look around you and are bereft of rejoicing because of the circumstances that you see, those are precisely the times to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Precisely the time to read or hear God's word, to remember His holy baptism of you, to eat and drink His very body and blood. Look up, stay fixed, and be filled with every reason to rejoice, because you have not only a promise, but a Savior. Not only a blessed hope, but a holy assurance. As He brings you to see with eyes of faith, He will soon bring you to see with your own eyes when the coming One comes again. See the Lamb so long expected comes with pardon down from heaven. Let us haste with tears of sorrow, one and all, to be forgiven. So when next He comes in glory and the world is wrapped in fear, He will shield us with His mercy and with words of love, draw near. Amen, amen. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, bring us to rejoice forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.